John chapter 1. One of the most appreciated things about Christmas is the Christmas lights. I was looking on Facebook a little bit last night and I saw somebody had their Christmas lights all synchronized to music. And it was a little unexpected because the music was actually the Star Wars themes music. Nonetheless, it was really cool how they had the lights go along with the music and some of the sound effects that way. And we look around, we see the beauty of all the decorated homes and all that. And it's really fascinating. And I suppose probably one of the characteristics about Christmas that makes Christmas what it is in our culture are the lights. You go to the homes and you see how the lights are out in the yard, or sometimes you can see through the window and the lights on the tree. You can go some places and see places where the lights are just out of this world, the different things that they're doing with them, and it's a lot of fun. You know, if we think about those lights, we know those lights haven't been around forever. They used to use candles, but it come around about 1879 that Thomas Edison, he created the light bulb. And about a year later, a couple years later, you have Edward Johnson, a co-worker, make the first string of lights. And having strong lights, then somebody else gets an idea. As a 15-year-old, in fact, who after a fire that took place in New York because of candles on the tree, he come up with an idea as a 15-year-old that you don't have to use those. You could use light bulbs and string light bulbs and put them around your Christmas tree. And so NOMA, the electric company, came to being after his work, and they used to be the ones you went to for all the Christmas lights that were out there. And when you think of Christmas and you think of the Christmas lights and all that's going on, something else that might come to your mind is this Christmas light of when Jesus was born. You know, you go back and you think of the wise men. Remember what they followed? They followed a star. What is a star? Well, some sort of light source that they recognized and followed even to the very house of Jesus. That's pretty amazing. When John, he writes his book, he thinks about Jesus in light. And when he thinks about Christmas, well, he's not thinking about Christmas so much, but he's talking about the birth of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ coming. The word light comes to his mind. We read earlier this morning in Matthew, or excuse me, in John chapter 1, that Jesus was sent, and he calls him the light. It says that in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. So it's talking about somebody other than God the Father. And all things were made by him. And it says here, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And he goes a little further down in verse 8 and in verse 9, and he says that he was the true light. Jesus Christ was the true light. What is he talking about there? Well, we think about Christmas and think about lights. Let's think about Jesus, the Son of God. In a dream, which is how God spoke before the Bible was completed, one of the ways that he spoke to his people was through dreams. And in a dream, he told a young man that he was supposed to go ahead and continue with the wedding plans that he had made, his wedding plans to Mary. Joseph was nervous because he had found out that Mary was pregnant and he knew he was not the father. Well, he did not want to have any part of that. You can see right off the bat, if you're in that situation, if you're Joseph, you can see already this marriage is not going to last. If this is happening before the wedding, what's going to happen after the wedding? So he was done, except that Gabriel the angel came and told him in a dream, wait a minute, you married that gal because what is in her is what God had created in her through the Holy Spirit, that she would become pregnant by God's creating that little boy in her. And that boy was special. He was the Son of God. They were to call him Jesus, for he would save his people from their sins. And then given the name also Emmanuel, meaning God with us. These are things that are written long before, in fact, 700 years before the name Emmanuel given in reference to a Savior. Jesus is the Son of God, and as you're familiar with the Scriptures, you know that there is only one God. But He exists simultaneously as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, it's easy for us to say, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense because that makes it three gods. And this is what some would accuse us of. Does anybody here believe that God can create the entire universe just by the spoken words of His mouth out of complete nothing in 6 days? Could have done it in less than one day. And you believe not only in creation, but you also believe in the way that He worked through His people in various ways, parting the Red Sea so that way the people can go across, going through and giving prophecies, some 500 years, some 700 years, some much longer than that, of a Savior that would come and be exact in every detail, including where He would be born, including knowing where He would be born, but about what time He would be born, in the book of Daniel, about some of the circumstances about when He would be born. If we can believe that, it's not hard to believe that God can be one God, and yet also God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because there's things in the Bible that we can, on the surface, understand just as a simple truth. That there's one God who exists as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But to really comprehend how that fits together is really impossible for us. But not any more impossible as it is to think of what forever is. You know what the word forever means. Have you ever tried to imagine how long forever is? And try to keep adding billions and trillions and quadrillions of years to tomorrow? Some of the truth that we can understand on the surface, but to really fully comprehend, is impossible. Jesus is the Son of God. We see here, Joseph was told to name that child Jesus, because this man would save his people from their sins. And to call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us, we see John even recognizing this. He says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see, the true light of Christmas is Jesus. And He being the true light of Christmas is being one who reveals to us who God is. Jesus says to His disciples in John 14:9, if you have seen the Father, you have seen Me. Or if you have seen Me, you have seen the Father. We find here in John 1:1 that Jesus is God. See, Jesus is the Son of God. He is a light and reveals this to us in His Word. You know, light is something that reveals. And if you're in a dark room, it's handy to have a flashlight with you. Why do you want a flashlight with you? So you can find where the Legos are. You'll find them one way or another, but you'd rather find them by the flashlight than you would with your bare feet. And so you use that flashlight in order to help to warn you of danger, also to show the right way, correct? Jesus, as the light of Christmas, does those things. He does so being the Son of God. In verses 1 and 2, declared God. There's a Bible version that's not one that most Christians would accept as God's word, because when it translates this verse, it adds an English word to the Greek here, and that is the word a. And so sadly it says, in the beginning was a word, and the word was with God, and the word was a God. And so ultimately, they're describing more than one God, though they deny that. This verse says that word was with God, and the word was God. And he was in the beginning with God. In the beginning with God. Yet Jesus is called to be declared to be God here, as in verse 1. In verse 2, it says that he was in the beginning with God. The beginning of what? Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It is God himself, God the Father, in Isaiah 44:6 says, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and the last. Besides me, there is no God. He calls himself the very first and the very last. In Revelation 22, verse 13, Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Wait a minute, Isaiah 44, God the Father says, probably not just God the Father, but as a whole, as a Trinity. But just to look at it from a standpoint of who's who, God the Father says, I am the first and the last. What did Jesus say? I am the first and the last. Clearly, Jesus not only is God by declaration, but his attributes of eternity. Who alone is existed forever? Only God. Jesus certainly fits that description. We can look at other attributes of Jesus and what he has done. In verse 3 it says that through him, through Jesus, all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. How do you make something? How do you say that everything that has been made was made by him? Didn't he have to make it from something? Well, yeah. No. He didn't, because he's God. He can make something out of nothing. He can take absolute nothingness. He doesn't. It's not that all the atoms of the universe existed. That's A-T-O-M-S, not A-D-A-M-S, not all the guys of the world. It's all the little bits and pieces that science says that we're made out of. Of course, then they divide that atom down into other parts and other parts. It's not like those existed for all eternity and God took them and formed them into something. No, it was absolute nothing. Just pure. You know what absolute nothing is. That's when you go and have a test that you're supposed to take, and you sit down in order to take that test, and what happens to your mind? Boom, absolute nothing. You don't remember a thing. That's what nothing is. Jesus took all that and made. Jesus used his godhood to create all of that. Not only this, by we see the deity of Jesus Christ in the declaration, but also in the attributes of God, and also in his work, the things that he did, coming to be the life and light of men. That's what God does. So we look at the scriptures and we say, okay, so we're going to celebrate the light of Christmas, and not with Christmas lights, although that can be a good reminder, but what is the true light of Christmas? Well, according to verse 9, Jesus is that true light. And who is that? That is God the Son. Not only God the Son, but as Jesus, as that light, is the light of truth and of salvation. In verse 9, it says there that he is the true light which gives light to every man who comes into the world. How is that word light being used? What light? Well, the contrast here is between light and darkness. Spiritual light and spiritual darkness. For the world is in darkness. It says in verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. The word comprehend can also be translated to seize it, to take light and to wrap it up and throw it into prison. Darkness can't do that. What is darkness? It's the absence of light, isn't it? How do we make it dark in here? Do we turn the dark button on and then all of a sudden the lights disappear? No. All we do is remove the light and there's darkness. What darkness is there that can overcome light? Well, there's a theory about black holes and all that in space. But in the world that we live in, all you need is just even sometimes the faintest light. And that darkness is gone. In the same way that darkness cannot overcome light physically, spiritually, that's true as well. See, this world is in a dark world. It's in a darkness, spiritually speaking, that Jesus came to expose and to overcome. That spiritual darkness, the blindness that Satan and the world has upon us, so that way we don't see what is right. That darkness that God has allowed to settle on men and women, so that way, though they hear the word and the gospel, they reject it. You see, Jesus is that light of salvation, that spiritual light. So we look through here, we see that in spiritual darkness, Jesus Christ is that light to all men who will put their faith in Him. In verse 12 it says, as many as received Him. Those who received who Jesus Christ is, as the light came on, if we can use that word, as the light came on and God helped them understand what He is offering to them, that salvation, those that received Him, to them He gave the right or the authority to become the children of God. That's who Jesus is. That's what He came to do. That's what that spiritual light is. Let's take for a moment the Christmas, and we're going to remove Christ completely. Now, some of you here, maybe many of you, think the way to do that is put an X there in front of the Mass. Did you know that X actually is a Greek character and not the letter X? You're not crossing out the name Jesus. Look it up. You can even see, you'll see that even in the Greek language, they would take and they would actually use that. To us, it looks like an X. It's a CH in Greek. And they would take and they would make that X there as an abbreviation for Christ's name. And they did it often as in respect and honor of who God is. So we're going to take, and not just by making an X out that Christ there, but we're going to call it season's greetings or happy holidays, all right? That's what we're going to do. And we're going to have a holiday, and we're going to have a holiday with lights and trees and presents. For what reason? Just take a moment and think about that. Why do people celebrate Christmas, the rest of the world? Because it's tradition. They ever think about what it really is about? Why do we have this holiday? Well, it goes way back to a pagan holiday. Yeah, but that's before 325 AD. That's a long time ago. Well, afterwards, some still celebrated the pagan holiday, don't get me wrong. But Christmas was set up and celebrated like it is today in our culture clearly a celebration of Christ. You don't have that if Christ did not come. And you don't have the light of what the gospel is and why he came if this never happened. If he was never the light. Do you understand? That means that all of us would be in spiritual darkness and spend all of eternity in the eternal darkness of hell forever and ever. That's why Jesus Christ is the light of Christmas and why we can celebrate him. Some, though, have chosen spiritual darkness instead of Christ. In John chapter 1, here in verse 9, it says, "The true light, which gives light to every man who comes into the world." Verse 10, "He was in the world," that is, Jesus came as a baby, lived a sinless life, and died for our sins and came back to life. He was in this world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. That is, much of the world didn't really grasp hold of who this Jesus was. For many, he was some sort of loudmouth preacher, standing on the street corners, yipping and yapping about this or that, telling you how you should be such a good person, which isn't really what he's telling you. He did tell you some of that, but with purpose, to glorify God. Giving some thing that if you put your trust in him. Now, doesn't that sound like some whacked out preacher? Oh, just trust me. Everything will be all right. Trust some guy on the street? Some guy comes up to you on the street this Christmas season and says, "Sir, it looks like those very expensive electronics that you're carrying are very heavy. How would you like me to carry them for you?" I think you probably would have the answer, "I appreciate your thoughtfulness, but I think I can handle them." Why? Do you really trust some guy to handle all those expensive gifts you bought for me? No, you don't trust them. Why? Because you know what many people would do to kind of help take a load off of you. And this guy's out there telling, "If you just trust me," you can understand why there would be disbelief. However, all the things that he did demonstrated who he was, that he was that true light. He did come to his own, but his own did not receive him in verse 11. There are those people that he came to, and that he revealed to them that who he was, and these were his own people, the Jews, who he was born to, and they did not receive him. It's a sad statement because Jesus came for all people. Verse 9, it says that true light which gives light to every man. Jesus came to the Jews first and also the Gentiles, Paul reveals to us. And he comes and he wants every man to know. In fact, in verse 12, it says, "As many as would receive him, he gave the right to become." Whoever wills can come. Jesus said, "Whoever comes to me, I will no wise cast out." Now, it comes an appearance of that when you look and you see some of the people that he dealt with. A woman comes up to him and asks for help. And he says, "Lady, I didn't come for you. I came for the Jews." And she says, "Yes, but even dogs get the crumbs." Her faith in him was so much, and she must have known the character of God to the degree that she knew that he shows grace on all peoples. And sure enough, he did. He saw her great faith. Some chose spiritual darkness, though, instead of the light, because Jesus came for every man, but many people reject Him. His own people, and even as He come into the world, and those who saw Him, so many of them said, yeah, this may be the light of the world, but I don't want anything to do with Him. And it's sad when that happens, because there's a payment for that in the end. Herod was a man, when we look at the Christmas story in Matthew chapter 2, we go ahead from the birth of Jesus Christ. Joseph and Mary, they married. Joseph and Mary married. And so as they married, and he made sure that they remained separate from each other physically until after the baby was born. I mean, his husband, they live in the same house, but kept her pure that way until Jesus was born. And then after being born, they spent about 2 years still in the area of Bethlehem. Growing up, that boy and Joseph certainly doing his work of carpentry. And all of a sudden, some guys show up. Often, traditionally, it's three of them. There may even been some that were ladies. Tonight, if you come, all of ours are going to be ladies. There'll be a unique twist to the story there a little bit. You have these people that show up to their door 2 years later. And to give a story that they saw His star. Whose star? The star of the King who was born, King of the Jews. They saw His star and they have been traveling for a long time. According to what they told Herod, the king, because they see that on their way they got to roundabouts and made it to Jerusalem. And there they find King Herod and say, King, we are curious, we want to know where the King of the Jews is born, the King of Israel. And the king, Herod, you can imagine, says to himself, wait a minute, I'm the king. What's about this about another king? And so he finds out where the king was to be born. They look at the scriptures and find out in Bethlehem. That was prophesied some 500 years before, 400 years before. So they go to Bethlehem and they get there to the door, knock on the door, and they share their story. And so they present gifts of gold and silver, gold of frankincense and myrrh. As they give that gold, frankincense, and myrrh to the child in honor of the King of the Jews. And perhaps as they're packing up, preparing to go back and then going and taking their sleep before they go, they're warned in a dream not to go back to Herod. For Herod had them go hunt for the kid, not so he could worship the child, as he had mentioned, but so he could put an end to this king thing. See, Herod rejected the truth of what was taking place. Herod said, I don't want anything to do with a different king. I'm going to take care of this right now. And he rejected the light of Christmas. Having rejected the light of Christmas resulted in even the death of all the boys 2 years and younger. Because that's what the Magi told them. That they had been following the star for 2 years, apparently, or that at least 2 years ago is when they saw the star appear. So sadly, all those boys, 2 years and younger, were put to death because Herod rejected them. When people, they see who Jesus is and Jesus, that Jesus came for all, and even though He came for all, they might reject Jesus. And many do. However, they're not the only ones that were part of the Christmas story. If we back up, we can find that there are those who not only rejected, but that some who chose Christ in spiritual life. Go back to that night that Jesus was born. Could you imagine what it was like? I tried to imagine it a little bit. And here we are in a barn or in a cave. We have a cave with us this morning. And they're in their cave or in their that stable, and wherever the you have cows maybe and donkeys or whatever livestock might have been there. And a manger, a feeding trough, is there. And that's where Mary had her baby. How many of you ladies were thinking to yourself, wow, when I have my baby, I want it to be born in a barn. That way, it'll always be true. Yes, they were born in a barn. That's why the door always gets left open, you know. He was born in a dirty, stinky barn. Did you ever think of what it smelled like in there? You clean out your stables, but even at that, it smells like animals. It smells like dogs and cats or whatever they had in there, horses and cattle and donkeys. And not only does it smell like the animals, but what the animals do. It probably stank in there. Isn't that where you would want to have your baby? Just think of all the comfort of smelliness. And not many stables, I don't think, probably had nice, comfortable, king-size beds in there. California king, we'll go big here. California king beds. Not many of them had those. Yet, a son was born. That son was born, and you know the excitement of having a little baby. Some of you with children or grandchildren, or you're at the store. I do it now. I'm at the store, and I'll see somebody with a little baby. And you get all excited because it's just a lot of fun to see them and watch them and hear them unless they're screaming their guts out. And even smell them if they're freshly clean. They're a lot of fun that way. And the excitement that rose in her. And you just want to tell everybody. You're so excited. The angels did that for them. And told the shepherds. And the shepherds, they went. And they went to see this Jesus. They accepted the truth. And accepting and choosing Christ, they did so with great joy. You see, Christ came. Those who chose Christ becomes God's children. In verse 12 here, we see that as many as did receive Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God. Those of us here who have placed our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior, do you understand that the light of Christmas saved your soul? Think about that this Christmas. The meaning of Christmas is not merely just that a baby was born and that a light revealed to us, spiritually speaking, who God is and what He did for us. Not only having taken and done such a thing, but paid the penalty for our sin and purchased a place in heaven that when we put our faith in His death, burial, and resurrection and what He did on our account, He being sinless, as we learned in Sunday school this morning, He being sinless, taking our sin upon Himself and God's wrath that we deserve upon Himself, that we should be called the children of God. You would not be called a child of God if Christmas never occurred, the real Christmas. I tell you, it's no wonder they left the way that they did, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. Some of those that chose Christ and in so doing spiritual life, those who chose Christ become God's children and see that this gift is from God. In verse 13, it talks about that gift of becoming God's child to those who believe on His name, who are born, Well, we know Jesus was born, but here talking about spiritual birth. John 3 talks about such a thing. Who are born not by blood, that is, not physically born as a child of God, not by blood, nor of the will of flesh, that is, in and of themselves, without God's insistence by His Holy Spirit. We do not naturally choose God. We naturally choose not God, because we are sinners, depraved, wicked sinners, who want our way rather than God's way. We sat around the table in Sunday school this morning, and I asked, what is it that you want for Christmas? And it's an iPhone 6 Plus. Did I get that right? iPhone 6 Plus? Okay, so Camden's going to get an iPhone 6 Plus, or is it Plus Plus? Whatever it is, whatever the latest and greatest is. He's got his hopes and his excitement all on that. Well, we can think about Christmas and all the excitement it is. Can he get that just because of his natural desire? Well, no, Mom's got to help him out, and he's got to work for it or do whatever he can to get it. He would have rather have that if he had not placed his faith in Jesus Christ as his Savior, had God worked in his heart that way. He would rather have that than put his faith in Jesus Christ. Because for Christmas, why not get a phone that you can play with and use instead of coming forward in the service and saying, I want Jesus as my Savior? Which present would you rather want? Well, normally speaking, we'd say the phone. But when God reveals to us and shows us the eternal life that we can have, the phone would be pretty cool, but so much better to become a child of God. Our desires normally is not for God, but God works in us. Not by the desire of the flesh, nor by the will of man. The idea there is not because somebody else wants me to, but from God. It was a gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We need to understand that the light this season, as we look at the pretty lights that are around, and even as we turn on the light switches, remind ourselves of the light of Christmas, that is Jesus Christ, the one who came to save us out of spiritual darkness, the one who came to redeem us from our own sin, and instead reveal to us who He is and the way to eternal life. That is to put our faith in Him alone for salvation. You know, for those of us that are saved, for those here, anybody here that's not saved, not placed your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, make this Christmas real special. Not only do you get the gifts under the tree, but you get God's great gift of Jesus Christ, who came to be that light of who God is and what He has done for you, to pierce that darkness, which we normally prefer because our deeds are evil. And things that we do, we'd rather do in spiritual darkness. But by the work of God, He changes us to even desire Him. We understand that as a gift from God, we know that. And knowing that, this Christmas can be special when you put your faith in Him alone. For those of us who have received Jesus Christ as our Savior, we need to recognize, really appreciate, the light of Christmas, Jesus Christ. This Christmas, we can be excited about Christmas because of all that it means, and be comforted because of all that taken place. And we can also rejoice and celebrate the light of Christmas. Because without Christ, not only, honestly, is Christmas a meaningless holiday, but your own life. In fact, we would come to the conclusion that we just as well eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow we die. However, because of Jesus Christ and the hope that we have in Him, the hope, the anticipation of eternal life, putting our faith in Him, we can rejoice and celebrate this Christmas. So let's make sure that we're celebrating this Christmas as we're listening to Christmas music and looking at all the pretty lights and all that. while we're celebrating our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.